always kind of just want to like tell people that like stay motivated by working on your side hustle. Like there's nothing wrong with a full-time job. There's nothing wrong with making money so you can stay afloat, but don't give up on your side hustle. Don't give up on your passion because you never know where that's going to go. Take advantage of social media. There is TikTok. There is, you know, YouTube, Instagram. Like you never know what you're doing can become something bigger. But yeah, like the time is now. Like, don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try. It's not supposed to be the best when you start, but what matters is that you keep going and you keep working better and keep getting better yourself.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
What's up, guys? In this episode, I talk with my friend Leo Chan. He runs a men's style and travel blog based in New York City called Levitate Style. And he was born and raised in Hong Kong until he moved to New York City at the age of 10. As an immigrant, you know, he was the first to attend college in his family. And he pursued, you know, a career in accounting and in banking. And he actually got into finance and accounting and was working as an analyst for Morgan Stanley Barclays. But, you know, his true passion was into fashion photography, modeling, and traveling. You know, so that's kind of how he started Levitate Style. He eventually left his corporate job and he was able to work with a lot of influential brands and companies. They actually were sponsored to travel the world for 5 months and partnered on a world cruise project that took them to 27 countries in 5 months. And even though it was hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of, you know, travel, you know, he was able to enjoy that as a fashion influencer. And he's been able to work with a lot of influential brands like GQ Magazine, Hugo Boss, Audi, Movado, and you know, now he's bringing menswear and travel style to, you know, other people, especially to the Asian community. Since there's not a lot of Asian representation in fashion, Leo Chan is actually one of the few Asians who are, you know, representing the Asians, especially in fashion, where there weren't a lot of Asian representation. And so you're gonna learn about his story, how he got into the fashion industry, how he broke through, and just kind of the mindset, you know, that took him there. And, you know, he's a straight hustler. He's been hustling to, you know, buy sneakers as a kid. He didn't have anything handed down to him. And so hope you guys are inspired from this interview with Leo Chan. Remember, you can connect with him on Instagram at Levitate Style and with me at Ray.On. And hope you guys really enjoy this episode with Leo Chan, Levitate Style. Hey, Leo, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for hopping on the call. And I just want to give a quick background of who you are to my audience. You're an Asian American influencer. You came from Hong Kong and you moved to New York when you were 10 and you got into fashion and travel influencing. You first worked in corporate banking, but then you left to do fashion and travel full time. And so, you know, I think a lot of probably Asian people look up to you because you're like, you know, you're someone who's confident, you know how to dress well, you know how to interact with people, especially in a time when Asian males are depicted as kind of weak, or they don't know how to talk to girls, or they don't really know how to go about, you know, they're depicted as like nerdy, right? And stuff like that. And I think you're kind of changing that perception of Asian males, which is awesome, and the stereotypes. And so, yeah, can you just kind of share a little bit about your story, like how it was coming from Hong Kong as an immigrant and then coming to New York, which is totally like different, right? Culturally and everything. So how was that? Like,
yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for the introduction. I really appreciate that. So yeah, I was born and raised in Hong Kong. I came to New York City, Queens specifically, with my family when I was 10 years old. And growing up, I think at first the cities are pretty similar because, you know, Hong Kong is kind of crazy and busy, kind of like New York City, the metropolitan life. Mm-hmm. So like for me, like it was similar in that way where it's just like buildings everywhere, the subway and all that stuff. But obviously, like for me, the language was a huge thing. So growing up, had to take ESL classes. And for me, like, obviously, I had to for me, like growing up, I had to like hang out with the other immigrant kids because, you know, we spoke Chinese and that's how we like got to hang out with each other. But like over the years, just like learning English and getting better at it. And then my mom, you know, she's, I wouldn't say she's like a tiger mom, but she obviously wanted the best for me. So she always looked for ways to be better in school. So she had me like sign up for like math tutors and things like that, so I can do better on my SATs. So I think when it comes to that part of the life growing up, it was very similar to a lot of Asian kids, a lot of immigrant kids out there. My parents worked normal office jobs, nothing crazy. So like growing up, we didn't really have a lot of things. Like buying Nikes and sneakers wasn't really a thing. That was something like I had to hustle for myself. But yeah, that's kind of like a quick like how I grew up in New York. I think like for me, like fashion and basketball early on was kind of how I connect with other kids and other people, because it was like a way to connect with people without having to speak at all. Like, you know, when people see your outfit, see your sneakers, they're like, oh yeah, that's what you like. When you play basketball, you don't have to talk. So those are the things I kind of learned early on as an immigrant, like this is how you can hang out with other people.
And how, so I guess you develop your confidence by like, you know, through what you wear and through kind of like what you do, because I think a big struggle for immigrants is like confidence. And I know like in Irvine and stuff like that, because I'm from Orange County, like there's a lot of Chinese kids who come over and they're all like, they drive like Lambos, they drive like,
it's crazy,
yeah, they drive like super cars and like they have $1,000 backpacks, you know. But I feel like a lot of it in a way is a cover up for their insecurity. You know, they feel like they need to prove themselves or show that they have money in order to feel, you know, better or like maybe accepted by people. And so, but I've had friends who aren't like that. Like they have money, but they just get to know people without all the, you know, jewelry and all the, you know, expensive stuff. So do you feel like, I mean, I guess my question is, how did you develop your confidence in yourself? Because I feel like it's a different thing when someone buys something to feel good, and like that's what makes them feel good. You know, like if I don't have my Nikes on, you know, my Air Jordans on, then I don't feel like I'm cool enough. You know what I mean? So like, where do you find identity? You know, is it?
I think over the years, confidence was something that like I had to really build up over the years. It wasn't just something that comes overnight, and it's not as simple as like, you know, it's not as simple as like our immigrant parents going like, oh, just be confident. It's not that something simple. I think like it's like a skill that you have to build up over time. For me, confidence was important because growing up as an immigrant, as I got into college and as I started to go for job interviews, like I realized that like as immigrants, as Asians, we're already at like, in a way, like at a lower playing field. And so like, when it comes to confidence, to work on that, how to present yourself, how to work on your self-image and first impression, that's confidence. Because when you meet someone for the first time, you want to present the best version of yourself so that you're at a good level playing field. So like growing up, it's like, okay, growing up, I feel like at first I was competing with other Asians because, you know, like the ABC and the immigrant kids, like I already have to compete with the Chinese that's already been born here. So they, like their English is better, right? But then like as you get older and you go into college and interviews and job, you're competing with other people. There's so many people out there competing for the same job, that same opportunity. So overall, I think confidence just kind of came along with everything else I'm trying to build myself and try to get better at. But yeah, confidence can come in so many different ways. Like if you feel like you're lacking confidence in the way you dress or the way you talk, then obviously you have to work on that. It's not a, it's, and when it comes to fashion, it's not like, oh, I just buy Gucci or just buy the most expensive item. It's not that. Like just like learning how to dress, learning how to put an outfit together, learning how to handshake, like things like that. Like, you know, you can't just buy that. You're like, handshake is a huge deal. Like even things like that, right? Eye contact. Yeah.
How do you do a proper handshake, or what's the proper handshake?
I mean, like, I don't know how to express, but you know, like, you want to, you don't want to like hold their hand weird, you know, like that happens, but you want, it's hard to show it, but you know, you want to give like a good firm handshake for like a few seconds and know when to let go. And like, you don't want to have your hand like wet when you, you know, like make sure your hands are nice and clean and like, you know, not sweaty, you know, and like do like a firm handshake, like, and you want to have good eye contact, like, hey, nice to meet you, but not in like a weird way either. So like little things like that, like, you know, a lot of times our parents, they didn't have the luxury to teach us that because they're just hardworking, working on their job. They don't have time to teach us confidence, how to talk to people. So over time, that's something I learned, you know, just from experience, from interviews, from meeting people, from networking events. And then confidence could even be how to talk to somebody, how to talk about certain topics without bragging, how to talk to somebody without overstepping and like over talking, like keep the networking at like the right amount. Little, all those different things like that.
Yeah. Have there been moments when like you were like made fun of either for your accent or like being Asian, especially in like the fashion industry? It's like, that's kind of like,
I think early on, well, early on when I was a kid, I definitely did, just because I think like growing up in Queens and you have a lot of kids, and there's a lot of kids from different background as well.
Kind of rough, no?
You know, rough, but thing. I look back at that, I kind of laugh, because like part of that, it is like kids being kids. Kids like to make fun of each other, pick on each other for different things. So I don't hold like a big grudge on that. I just think that, you know, kids are, you know, that's what they do. They make fun of each other, they pick fights. But growing up, I definitely had a lot of those moments where my English was not good, you know? And so, you know, that definitely like got into arguments with other kids, you know? So that definitely happened in the past. But when it comes to the fashion world, not really. I think like, over the years, I don't think I have that much of a accent or anything. Maybe like if I talk for a really long time, then it starts to creep up. But not so much in the fashion world. I think fashion world is pretty diverse in that way. And now more and more they're preaching diversity and inclusivity, which is a big change in the past 10 years.
Okay. Yeah. Especially, I think representation of other races too. Because back then I think it was all like European or white models, you know. Now they have like black people and Asian people. It's more representation. And you also, you're dating a Caucasian girl, or is that your girlfriend?
Yeah, I am. My girlfriend is Alicia. I met her in Buffalo in school. So we actually met in university.
Okay, very cool. And so that's pretty new too, right? Most people are like, you see Asian, you know, white guys with Asian girls, not.
Right.
But you know?
Yeah, that's another, like, when I think about, like, me and, like, my relationship and things like that, there's a lot of, like, minority factors, right? Like, I'm an immigrant, I'm Chinese, Asian guy, and then at the same time, too, I'm also dating a white female. And so that's another, like, rare interracial relationship that you don't see often. So, and it's very true. Like, over the years, you see a lot of the white guy, Asian girl pairing. So it's also nice to, obviously, like, it's also nice for us to have this, like, change in this interracial relationship to show others as well. Because this opens up, when you see photos and videos of us on the internet, that will open up people's minds about mixed couples, you know? You know, maybe, like, Asian parents before were not open to their kids dating a white female. And now they see this as an example, they might be more open to it. So that's why I think, like, when it comes to content on social media, it's so powerful, because people can relate, or people can use that as examples to kind of move forward from there.
Okay. Like, what do you mean by that? Like a role model almost, or like look up to?
In a way, yeah. I mean, like, when I started all this, I didn't try to be like a role model per se. I just wanted people to see what I'm doing and like feel like they can relate. So if you're an Asian guy growing up and you didn't think like, oh, fashion is not for me, like I don't care about fashion, or like, oh, I won't look this good in a suit. You know, I don't see Asian guys in a suit. Why should I wear a suit? You know, like different things like that. But now when you see more Asian guys like me, when you see more Asian models out there, and when you see like Asian actors, right? Like you feel more inspired that, hey, I see myself in that, in their shoes. Like I can do the same.
Yeah.
So when it comes to fashion, when it comes to travel, even when it comes to my relationship, like I just want to open up people's minds that like, it's not just one thing. It's not just one path.
Yeah. Okay. That anything is possible pretty much.
Yeah.
And your brand name is Levitate Style. What led you to pick that name?
Yeah. So that's a great point. So when we were brainstorming the name, I wanted something, number one, I wanted something that, so my name is Leo. So I wanted like a word that's also starts with the letter L.
Uh-huh.
So like when people think of the brand name, they know it's Leo. And then like back then, a lot of the fashion blogs were like, men's fashion blog or men's style blog, but I didn't want like a super long name. I wanted to keep it kind of short and concise. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to pick a word that can be like associated very strongly with the branding. And another reason is also like, you know how they say, like, I think a lot of like the famous actress, like for example, like Beyonce or like Oprah, people might not be able to pronounce your name right. Maybe it's hard, but guess what? It's very recognizable. You're the only one with this name. And so I also wanted to pick a word and branding that like, sure, like you rarely see this word thrown around, but then when people hear it, they're like, okay, like you're the only one. And then I was brainstorming, like this is like 5.5 years ago. I was brainstorming like, sure, I'm doing fashion, but like I wanted to do like a specific type of pose in photography that I can do like everywhere I go when I travel. And so I used to do a lot of like levitating shot, like where I jump, just looks like I'm levitating, but I would do that like literally like around the world when I travel in my fashion. So early on was a lot of like the levitate shot, because that's kind of like a signature pose and it's a branding. So that's kind of how we got the word levitate. And it's funny because like a good year and 2 years into it, a lot of people were like, levitate. Like they, it's a normal word, but they're like, they like rarely hear it. So they're like, what's levitate? Like they had trouble saying the word and like spelling. Like when I tell them, like, follow me on Levitate Style on Instagram, they had trouble spelling it. But now 5 years in, people know how to spell it now, just because it's like, okay, like, this is your brand, this is your name, you know, like but like it did take time for people to get used to the name. But now I can easily use this branding to create other things. Like I can create a brand, I can create like a clothing brand or anything like that. I can create a company because the word and the branding Levitate is strong with my profile.
Okay, yeah, Levitate Style, it's Levitate means to float, right?
So. Yeah,
means you float around the world.
Yeah, so it's kind of like rise up, like because it's like floating, it was like effortless, right? Like when you're levitating, you're not like trying hard, like it's just floating. So it was kind of like to play around, it was like, all right, this is like to rise in effortless rise style.
Dang, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What do your parents think? Are they still in Hong Kong? What do they think about?
No, so my parents are here in America. My mom is in Atlanta. My dad is in Queens, in Flushing. The first year, they just thought that, you know, I'm just doing this for fun, because like they knew I love fashion, they knew I love photography. So they're like, yeah, okay, Instagram. Like they don't really understand Instagram. Like the first few years, they're just, oh, you're like a model. So I'm like, okay, sure. Like, cool. Like it's hard to explain these things to Asian people.
Yeah,
so
I'm
just like, okay. For years, I just told them, yeah, I'm a model, sure. Like, but then I explain to them whenever I can, like, well, you know, we also do the photography, the videography, and like I have to manage my relationships with brands and like emails and partnerships and like all that stuff. And they're like, okay. But it was a lot easier to explain to them when I got featured in like GQ magazine. So within the first year of Levitate Style, I got featured in the GQ magazine, which was a huge deal. Because the same thing you can say about Koreans, Japanese, and like Vietnamese. Like Asians alone is so complex, but yet we're just Asian, you know?
Yeah.
Even for me growing up, I thought Asians, there's so many different types of Asians, but like not to the rest of the world, not to, you know, the majority of people out there. And so I think like, this is why what we do on social media, especially as influencers, like we have such a strong platform to portray something different, you know? And like, you know, it's not all Asian guys look like this, not all Asian guys are this and that, like, and that's why it's important to put ourselves out there.
Yeah, to kind of step up, you know, especially. So, yeah, for sure. What has been the thing that keeps you going when things get rough or tough, especially because like I'm sure like building your own business, it's not easy, man. Like I'm doing the same, it's not easy. But you know, it's but you have to do it if you want to create freedom for yourself, you know, and your family. And so what is the thing, what is the why, what is the thing that keeps you going when things get rough? And it's like, you know, when your back's against the wall, you're like, is this worth it? Because I feel like, like, I remember this, too, when I first started my podcast. There's a lot of, like, internal battles you have to go through. Like, there's it's a lot more internal than, like, it's the doing is not that hard, right? Like, doing it in a podcast isn't that hard. You just follow these steps. But a lot of the fears and the mental battle is inside. And a lot of that has to do, like, self-negative talk. Like, you're not good enough. You're not worth it. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are? You know, like, why do you think you should make it? You know, so, like, how do you defeat all these negative self-talk, especially, I feel like for you as an immigrant who came at 10, you must have had a lot of those, you know, you must have had a lot of internal battles that like people don't know about. And so
like,
how did you deal with that negative self-talk and those battles, you know?
I think a lot of the negative talk, I mean, it's tough. It's in our human nature to compare. So I think that's number one. That's always like, comparing yourself to somebody else that's been doing a podcast or that's been working in fashion for, I don't know, 5 years more than you. So I think right off the bat, you need to understand where you are in your space. Like, and you have to remember that, like, there's really no overnight success. And, like, there's so many stories, so many hours that you probably don't hear about, don't see that someone else put the work in. So I think like early on, for example, like with Instagram and with like my YouTube channel, I think early on, like, you know, obviously I'm like, oh yeah, this is it. Like, I'm going to go viral. Like, no, but like you really just have to be consistent and like understand what your passion is and what your purpose is. So that way, like, it really keeps you going. Even if you're not getting the amount of sponsors, even if you're not getting the likes, like, you know, like, this is the best work you can put out at this time. And I think like the negative thoughts is really, really bad, especially bad when you're starting something. So for example, like YouTube, a lot of people are not on YouTube because, oh, it's not good enough, or it takes too long. Oh, it has to be perfect. And like, I was the same way when I first started. It's like, I spent hours and hours editing, and like every little tweak, I'm like, it has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. Like, this is it. This is it. Like, no, it's not. Like, this is probably, you know, your first video. So like, it's supposed to, I mean, it's still, you still want to put out something good, but like, it's not supposed to be your best. Your best is supposed to be later on. So like, when you look at your work, you know, you look at your podcast, your website, whatever it is, a year from now, or you look back, like, it should not be, it should not be as good as it is today, because hopefully you keep improving, right? So like with the videos and stuff, I'm just like, okay, like, this is the best I can do today, and I want this, I just want to put this out there so I can keep working better from this point on. And that's anything. I think that's the most important thing when it comes to creatives. I think like when it comes to like the Asian community for creatives, it's like, we're taught that like it's just a creative outlet, it's not a career, it can't be a job, but I think we all need to keep working on our passion, because that's, if it's your true passion, you're gonna keep going with it. Like, it should not be like, oh, I gotta drag you out of bed to work on your passion. Like, if this is what you're passionate about, you should be on fire, ready to go every day. But just know that, like, just work on it. Like, even for me this year, I'm starting to work on a small collection, like a small clothing collection. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy, nothing big, because the biggest hurdle is to start. Mm. Before this, I'm like, I don't even know how to start a clothing website. I don't even know where to design something. But since I've said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Mm-hmm. Since a month ago, now I'm like, okay, like, I know how to design this t-shirt, or how to source this hoodie, or how to make this. And like, I know how to link this website to this, but like, I just have to start. And yeah, by starting this small collection, my next collection, I can work into a bigger designing, or like, I can try to do something bigger, you know, but it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, you don't ever need to shoot for the moon and shoot for the biggest thing ever. Like,
yeah,
look at the actors, look at the musicians, look at the artists that you're inspired by, and yeah, just look at the earliest work. You know, like, everybody started from something, and you can really, yeah, and that's the beauty when you see like these influencers, like, look back at their work and you'll see that they did not come overnight. Like, they started with this thing. This is interesting. Then they picked up. Then this got picked up. And like, it was just really like step by step how they got there. And that's what I love when I like, when I find like new content creator influencers, I like to study what they've done, because it's never overnight. Like, what they just posted, they didn't just start with that. And that's kind of, that's kind of the creative process of how to stay motivated, because your first product is supposed to suck. Yeah. And it's okay to suck. You're supposed to get better from there. That's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you're in the mindset too, it's not about like, because I think a lot of people don't put anything out because they're like, it's going to suck. Or like, they're afraid of what people think, you know? But I feel like if you're just 1% better than yesterday, then that's like, that's a win. You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
It's about self-improvement, and it's about being the best version of yourself, and like having a strong why. And so what would be like your why? What's your why for like why you do what you do and stuff?
Like my why?
Yeah, like your why that keeps you going, and that's like,
I mean, like I said, I never imagined any of this 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I am still really just like a regular guy. You know, I used to work in Morgan Stanley Barclays as a finance analyst guy. I made my money and then I buy my stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But now some of these brands that I grew up, like say like the Hugo Boss and like Allen Edmonds, like shopping at Macy's, like growing up as an immigrant, I didn't even have money to do that, right? Like, I never thought I can own this watch. I never thought I can buy these sunglasses. But now, throughout the years, like, I've made enough money to buy those things for myself. But now, on the other hand, as a creative, I get to work with these brands. Like, to go from a consumer to a creator, like, that is just so different. And that's what drives me. And, like, for me, like, I want to keep working my way up to working with the best brands. Because I think the best brands should also work with Asians in general.
Yeah.
Exactly. So like, as I keep pushing myself and elevate myself, I'm also elevating the image of what Asians can be. And like, honestly, it is important, because like, I always just think back to that bigger purpose. The bigger purpose is to represent the Asian community. So when I'm wearing a suit, when I'm wearing this, or when I'm doing these things and these exclusive VIP things, like, I'm a lot of times the only Asian in that room. So, you know, if I'm at a VIP thing, or if I'm at an exclusive brand dinner and I'm the only Asian person in there, and I'm not saying this is like true, but like, what if their previous perception and stereotype of an Asian guy was what they saw in TV show, or they think coronavirus is an Asian, but yet they meet me and I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And you know, like, there's a lot of these rooms that I'm in, like, you don't even hear about that stuff on my feed, because that's really like the behind the scenes. Like, I'm networking, I'm going to these events. And like, I don't go to the event, I'm storing, I don't point out, hey, I'm the only Asian here. No. But like, a lot of times that's really the truth. But by having one Asian in that room, that could open doors to more Asians in the future.
Yeah.
And brands could be more open to being more diverse with that way. Or now they're tapping into, you know, immigrants to tell authentic stories that can align with the brand. Yeah. So there's so many opportunities out there, but it's just so important that, like, we keep pushing. Because for every brand advertisement, for every, like, sponsorship out there, you know, I get annoyed if I don't see an Asian, because it's like, wait, why not? It's 2020. Mm-hmm. Like, it needs to be diverse. Mm-hmm. It needs to be diverse. Like, we should all be part of this because we're Americans. We're in this country, aren't we? Yeah. So, like, yeah. I want to see more of that. And, like, you know, like, a lot of us Asians are creative. There's a lot of creatives out there. But over the years, it's a hustle to make your passion into a profession. Yeah. But I like to show people that, yeah, I worked in finance for 5-6 years. I didn't just jump into being a creative right away. Like, I worked my way into it. Mm-hmm. So I just like that I'm able to tell people that I've worked in finance, but now I work in fashion. Like, I've done both. That's what keeps me going, man. And just as I keep pushing myself to work more into different industries, like, I love to do more with cars. I love to do more with the NBA, because you don't see Asians in those places. But also, that's what I do love. So as I push myself to do all those things, there could be more room for others.
Yeah. I feel like people like Asian people more than, I mean, I think people actually do like Asians. Like, I see a lot of Black people. They like Dragon Ball Z or like anime, you know, and like K-pop and like, you know, the Parasite movie, you know. So it's like, people do like Asian things. It's just more Asian people need to step up. You know what I mean?
And I mean, like, it's nice to finally see some Asian recognition in mainstream. And it's definitely eye-opening, because, like, think about it. 10 years ago, I didn't think that Black people watch anime. I thought only Asians watch anime. But, like, it's become so diverse. And people, and it's like, honestly, props and kudos to other cultures opening up to other cultures.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's so easy for Asians to only watch anime and not watch anything else. Yeah. It's so easy for Black people to only watch certain things and not watch Asian movies. But kudos to them opening up to our culture as well as we've opened up to their culture. Yeah. So, but that's where the world should be. Like, as much as I love sneakers and basketball, there's someone out there that loves anime more than I do, you know? So that's beautiful when things like that can be shared and can be appreciated. At the end of the day, like, you're appreciating that, right? Like, you're appreciating the work of an Asian, you know, like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I think that's what heaven will be like. It's like a bunch of different cultures and races just living and appreciating each other, you know,
in peace,
harmony, in peace.
Don't have to fight over things, don't have to, like, compete against each other. And I think, like, what's something cool too I learned from just, like, doing Instagram and YouTube, I've never branded myself as the Asian influencer. I'm just a fashion guy. I never go, I'm the Asian fashion guy. You know what I mean? Like, my fashion isn't Asian fashion. Like, it was never like, this is Asian. Like, I'm an Asian guy dressing well, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, what's cool is that I found a lot of minorities, a lot of Black people following me as well, and they find my story inspiring. So it's cool that I can inspire people outside of my own circle, outside of my own communities and culture. And it's just like, I think, like, that's the cool part about minorities. Like, minorities stick to each other and help each other out, because they realize, like, a win for you is a win for me. You know, like, a win for an Asian guy in this industry could be a win for a Black guy in the future, because that's, at the end of the day, it could be a brand just opening up to working with minorities in general.
Yeah, if you do work with other minorities, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy though. It's like, you're the only Asian one in these rooms. It's like, why me? You know, it's like, maybe there's like a special calling on your life, you know, and just like, you get to be that voice for Asian people and just, you know, yeah, the Asian people in general, I guess.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, I've been doing this for, like, 5.5 years now. And, like, recently I've been doing, like, video collaborations with the Fung Bros. You know the Fung Bros on YouTube? Yeah. They're huge on YouTube. Like, they're like,
yeah,
I feel like growing up for the Asian community, they're like the only YouTuber basically.
Yeah.
You know, they're like one of the few.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, when you're thinking about like Asian representation, there's really none in Hollywood until recently. So you're like, okay, well, the only representation I have is on YouTube. And that's the power of social media. And you're like, wow, like, these guys, like the Fun Bros, been doing this for 8 years now. So, like, when I did videos with them recently, there's a lot of Asians, there's a lot of Asian community out there. Like, their audience don't know about me, you know? And, like, rightfully so, I'm not as big as 2 million on YouTube, but I've been doing this for 5.5 years, and there's still so many people that don't even know about me. And so that's why I just got to keep going, keep doing this so that more people know what I'm doing, what we're doing out here with social media, with our platforms.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who still need to see, because even GQ, it's like every it just changes every season, you know, the face changes every season. So just gotta stay relevant. I think it's harder to stay relevant now, just because, like, if you're not constantly putting out content, it's like they forget about you. So it's like that's part of the grind. And I think people don't understand that doing this is actually a lot more work than a 9-to-5, you know, because you're literally working like all day, you know, there's no break, like your life is your work, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also, you love it. So it's not really work. It's like, it's your life. You know what I mean? It's your life's work. So I think that's the beauty of it. But before we, you know, close up the interview, is there any kind of last, you know, words you want to say, to the Asian people listening or watching, and maybe just any minorities out there kind of who have a dream or who have a voice, but they just never like fully put it out there, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I always kind of just want to like tell people that, like, stay motivated by working on your side hustle. Like, there's nothing wrong with a full-time job. There's nothing wrong with making money so you can stay afloat. But don't give up on your side hustle. Don't give up on your passion, because you never know where that's going to go. Take advantage of social media. There is TikTok. There is, you know, YouTube, Instagram. Like, you never know what you're doing can become something bigger. But yeah, like, the time is now. Like, don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try. It's not supposed to be the best when you start, but what matters is that you keep going and you keep working better and keep getting better yourself.
Yeah, awesome. So where can people follow you on Instagram, Levitate Style?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, everything at Levitate Style.
Okay, on the website too, levitatestyle.com.
levitatestyle.com, yep, that's right.
Awesome, all right, thank you so much, Leo.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Guys, I hope you really enjoyed that episode with Leo Chan. And remember, you could connect with him at Levitate Style. I think for me, what stood out was basically how he was able to be one of the few Asians represented in the fashion industry, even though that's really hard to do. And that if you have enough, you know, willpower, determination, you can make your dreams come true just like he did. And so whatever it is, your passion, you know, keep at it, don't give up, and really think about what you want to do with your life, not just what your parents want you to do, what society tells you what you should do, but really figure out for yourself what kind of life you want to live and really pursue that full-heartedly. And so hope you guys were really encouraged by this episode. Go check him out at Levitate Style and me at Radar On, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.